Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody with us today. Have a very serious message today in nature, and the name of the message is called Choose Life. Choose Life. In the United States, which is claimed to be the greatest democracy ever, you know, of people, you know, ruling themselves, the Laodicean, they have something called the Bill of Rights. And in the Bill of Rights, it guarantees every single individual, citizen, no matter who they are, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And yet, in America, every year, they roughly kill around 2 million or so babies, between 1.5 and 2 million babies a year through abortion, through infanticide, the legal killing of babies. And my plan is not just to talk about the U.S. today, because it's not just a U.S. problem. Worldwide, there's roughly 40 to 50 million abortions every single year. Worldwide, 40 to 50 million. And it's hard to grasp around the number. You know, you hear numbers all the time about all kinds of things, right? You know, there's this number here and this number here. And, you know, especially with debt, the world debt of things, you know, and what's the difference between 1 million and 1 billion, right? And yet, you really see it. Like they say, you know, a million, if you took $1 million bills and stacked them on top of each other, you'd be as high as the Empire State Building, which is a very tall building. It used to be the tallest building in New York City for many years. Yet they say $1 billion, if you took $1 billion bills, put them next to each other, that you can go around the earth 1.5 times. So you really see the difference between 1 million and 1 billion. So just to give you an idea, when you're talking about 40 to 50 million aborted babies a year, we're talking about from around the year 2000, which is not that long ago, to today, there's been roughly around 1 billion babies killed. I mean, this is insane when you're talking about it. Roughly in the last 20 to 25 years, 1 billion babies that have just never had the chance of life, wiped out. And the saddest part of it is that in most of society, it's normal. A matter of fact, if you even talk about what we're talking about today, you're looked at as the evil person. And, you know, we're living in a time of COVID, right? They talk about the COVID deaths, which are bad. Every single person that dies is sad and bad. We've had it hit our family personally, you know, with relatives that have died from COVID. And roughly there's around 1 million people that have died from COVID so far. And they're talking about, you know, how it affects the world. You see it in mass vaccinations and all these other things. And yet, actually, even from the 1 million people that they claim died, the vast majority of those people had underlying conditions that COVID might have made it worse, but it wasn't only COVID that they died of. And this is in 2019. But as, let's say, 1 million people died of COVID in 2019, 42 million babies were aborted. 42 million babies that never had the chance to live. A matter of fact, just to show you that number again, which you never hear in the news, you never hear anything about this, abortion is the number one cause of death worldwide. Next to that is cardiovascular disease, heart disease, right? About 17 million people in 2019 died of heart disease. 8.2 million people died of cancer, you know. I mean, you look, it's crazy. Because cancer is a horrible thing, right? And all around the world, we have cancer centers, and they're trying to figure out cures for cancer and to help, and they should, right? But you have 8.2 million people die of cancer, and 42 million babies aborted. So it's not that it's a disease that babies are dying from that we're trying to figure out, we're not putting enough money into. We are purposely, the world is purposely killing these babies. They're purpose, because they're healthy babies. They're babies that would have life and are healthy and yet they're killing them. 5 million died from smoking in 2019. 13 million died from other diseases, right? But 42 million babies were slaughtered and killed, infanticide, by laws made in countries around the world, by legal laws. This is something that is legal. And I mean, it's crazy, you know. Since President Trump has been in office, he's named 3 Supreme Court judges. And the Democrats, they fought him tooth and nail for each one, because the biggest thing they're afraid of is that the Supreme Court is going to change that ruling and make abortion illegal. That's the biggest thing on their mind, right? It's not saving life. The biggest thing on their mind is killing life. And not just killing people, because they'll fight for people that are murderers and evil people to get them out of prison, but yet they want to legally keep the killing of millions and millions and millions of babies. Exodus 20 and verse 13, you shall not murder. It's very clear. Abortion is murder. There's no doubt about it. Abortion is murder. I'll prove that very easily today. I don't even have to prove it. They're killing. You kill someone, it's murder. When you purposely kill someone, you pre-plan to kill someone, it's called murder. And that's what it is. It's not an accident. You know, it's not a miscarriage. It is infanticide. It's the pre-planned killing of millions and millions of babies around the world. It's so sad. And, you know, I don't even try to figure out what's in the mind of these people, because I'm glad I can't think like they do. Because they're evil and they're sinister. And every day that goes on now, and this COVID has shown me the same thing, that they know it. They know what they're doing. They know how evil they are, and they just don't care. And the news media are with it, because they're all owned by it. They actually had, years back in America, they had a whole thing from the Congress on the news media. And about a third of the news media was CIA agents. They're operatives that are there just to bring the disinformation to the people. So they talk about this happening in China and happening in Russia, but it's happening in USA and everywhere around the world, you know, that this kind of stuff is happening. Because a child's heartbeat, you could actually hear as early as 5 to 6 weeks, you could hear a heartbeat. Maybe it's there beforehand, but tiny, tiny little baby. But within, usually a woman doesn't even find out she's pregnant until about a month anyway, or a little longer. And in 5 to 6 weeks, you already hear a heartbeat. The heart is pumping, right? And the life is in the blood, and the blood is there from the beginning. And life starts at conception. There's no doubt about it. And they all know it, and they try to lie about it, that it's not a life. And how can they say that? Because if I was in a court of law, right, what do you do when you go to a court if you're a lawyer? You try to bring a precedent. So if I wanted to put a fence around my backyard, and they were saying, no, you're not allowed to have a fence, I would go into the court and I would give a case. Jones versus Smith back in 2015, and they were allowed to have a fence. And this one, so I show precedence that other people were allowed to have the fence. So if it's legal and it's lawful for other people to have it, why can't I have it? And then the judge would rule in your favor, because that's the way it works. You show precedent of something that you're trying to bring. Well, if I was in a court of law fighting to show that life starts at conception, I have 50 billion pieces of evidence that this is the way it is, 50 billion precedents, because since Adam and Eve, every single person that's ever been born started with life at conception. It started with you know, the sperm and the egg coming together and conceiving. Every life. There's no life that didn't start at conception. So that every human being that has ever lived since Adam and Eve, that's where life comes from. And if you don't kill it, then it's going to become, it will be at 9 months, the baby will be born. It's that simple. So life starts at conception. Like I said, we have 50 billion precedents to this. And it's the same evil, wicked, sinister people that say no, that a fetus is not a life, that are trying to tell us that we come from an explosion, that we come from evolution, that there is no creator. So it's the same evil people giving you the same lies. But unfortunately, you know, in the end time, where it says knowledge will be increased, And that's good and bad. You know, now there's knowledge to, you know, track every human being on the planet and chip them and all the other things. But also, we have more biblical knowledge. We have more medical knowledge. We have DNA knowledge that we didn't have 100 years ago. So as more knowledge is coming out scientifically, it's just proving more and more of creation and proving more and more that without a shadow of a doubt, life starts at conception. And we'll show it today over and over and over. Exodus 21 and verse 22. Exodus 21 and verse 22, it says, "And when men fight and they strike a pregnant woman, and her child goes forth, and there is no injury, being fined, he shall be fined. As much as the husband of the woman shall put on him, even he shall go through the judges. But if injury occurs," right? Injury to the fetus, that's a life. "You shall give life for life." The fetus is a life. And if the person was fighting with a woman and injured that fetus, then they would be killed because it's life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, branding for branding, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So very, very clearly, according to Scripture, a fetus is a life. And even in the United States and maybe other countries, if you kill a pregnant woman, they consider it a double homicide because you're killing her and the unborn life. So even the laws prove it's life. The person who did it is going to have to pay for killing two lives. And yet, when they're talking about abortion in abortion clinics, then all of a sudden, it's not a life anymore. So I want to show you a couple of pictures here that are very graphic. So if you have small children there, you may want to turn them aside. But I want to show you without a shadow of a doubt that a fetus is a life, and show you a life of a fetus born and a life of a fetus aborted. You could see it right here. So without a shadow of a doubt, you see that the fetus that was allowed to live, like I said, 50 billion times this has happened since Adam and Eve, become a beautiful little baby and is given the opportunity to have life. And you see the fetus that was aborted, that is a baby. The only difference from the top baby that was given life to the bottom baby is the bottom baby was never given an opportunity to live. The bottom baby was killed. It was killed. It was killed, and, you know, Yahweh willing will be in his kingdom and have the opportunity there to live in a world where things like killing babies is not even thought of, where people can't even concept it. But that is the only difference between a fetus that was allowed to live and a fetus that wasn't. I want to show you one more picture of an aborted baby head that was found in a garbage can in Houston, Texas. And when you look at that baby, you're going to tell me that that's not a life? You're going to tell me that that's not a baby? And as we're going to see what they do with many of these aborted babies and what they have to do with the baby being still alive to get these fetal tissues and these things, it is not only inhuman, it is insane, it is heinous that what they would do and harm these young unborn children. So take a look at that and you tell me, is that a life? Or isn't it a life? And it's just insane that this evil, sick, sinister world would go on with this, right? And then they're going to tell you how bad Hitler is and how bad all these other people are. And they are. Hitler was a monster. But they're no worse. They're no worse, and they're worse than it because they're normalizing it and they're trying to make it sound normal. So let's go into some scriptures now. And let's see what Yahweh says about a fetus in a mother's womb. Let's go to Psalm 139, and starting in verse 13. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13, it says, "For you have possessed my inward parts. You wove me in the womb of my mother." You wove me. And that's the beautiful part of it, that life comes from Yahweh. And it's not just that it just happens that a life comes. And Yahweh is woving. He's making, right? Like a weaver does, makes a piece of clothing or a jacket. That's the same way that Yahweh is weaving life inside the womb. I will thank you, for with fearful things I am wonderful. Your works are marvelous, and my soul knows it very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me as an embryo, and in your book all my members were written the days they were formed, and not one was yet among them. So while does life start at conception? Of course it does. You know, of course it does. And it's absolutely evil to say anything otherwise. Job 31 in verse 15, like I always say, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Job, at least a contemporary with Abraham, maybe even older, right? And look what Job says in Job 31, 15. He says, "Did not he who made me in the belly make him? And did not one shape us in the womb?" Did not one shape us in the womb? And, you know, like I said, as you go around through history, there's a lot of things that maybe weren't known until even just the past 50 to 100 years. But one thing that was known through creation, one thing that was known from Adam and Eve, is that life begins at conception. And life comes from Yahweh. Yahweh can only give life, and Yahweh can only take life. And that's why it says when someone dies, what happens? To dust we are, to dust we shall return. But how do we get life? Like we said when we were talking a little while back about the immortal soul, that you get life by Yahweh breathing the breath of life into man, and by oxygen and the blood circulating. And as soon as conception happens there, the baby is alive. The baby is alive, and life has started from that point, and it's developing. The same way even when we're born and we get baptized, our spiritual life is developing from the day of our baptism till the day of our death. And there's no doubt about it, as Scripture says. Let's go to Luke 1 and verse 30, and we'll see it even with our Savior, right? Luke 1 and verse 30 says, "And the cherub said to her, to Miriam, 'Do not fear, Miriam, for you have found grace with Yahweh. For behold, you will receive conception and bear a son, and you will call his name Yeshua.'" Behold, you will receive conception, right? You will receive conception. That's where life starts. When the egg is fertilized and the human being is begin, that's where life starts. You will receive conception and bear a son. And then what Yahweh prophesied in Isaiah 49 before this ever happened, Isaiah 49 and verse 5, Isaiah 49 and verse 5 says, "And now says Yahweh, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him. Though Israel is not gathered, yet I am honored in the eye of Yahweh, and my Elohim is my strength." Right? "Now says Yahweh, who formed me from the womb." That Yahweh, you know, again, and it's amazing to think about this, that Yeshua is an eternal being. He has no beginning and no end, right? He didn't, as a spirit being, he didn't have blood and veins, and his body wasn't made of matter, you know, and atoms. And yet, because of his love for us, and because of being the second Adam, and because of wanting to know everything that we're going through so that he can be a wonderful high priest, like it says in the book of Hebrews, he literally put his eternal divinity aside, and he comes inside of a woman, inside of a womb. You know, he was created there by Yahweh, just like every other child that was created. And then he's born from Miriam, his mother, and he lives some odd 33 years in a physical human body to understand how we feel like. So, wow, how amazing, right? If we go to Luke 2:21, it says, "And when 8 days had passed to circumcise the child, his name was called Yeshua, the name called by the cherub before he was conceived in the womb." Before he was conceived in the womb. So Yahweh knew his name before that. He knew what he was going to do. And he knows us even before we're conceived. the same way with Yeshua. Jeremiah 1 in verse 4 and 5 goes over the same thing. Jeremiah 1 verse 4 and 5 says, "Then the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, I knew you before I formed you in the belly, and before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." So Yahweh knows the beginning from the end. And never mind life starting at conception, physical life, what it does. It says Yahweh knew us before that. Like he says here, I knew you before I formed you in the belly. And I can give you a personal testimony from our family because, we prayed for a child for several years. And then before Mariah was conceived, I had two dreams that Yahweh showed me her in the dream, right? So he knew exactly, because we didn't know before that, would it be a boy, would it be a girl? What would they look like? How would they be? But Yahweh showed me exactly, before Mariah was conceived, exactly that she would be a girl and exactly how she would look. You know, and I told Petra this, about the dreams twice, seeing that dream and seeing her dark curly hair. And it's amazing that, like I said, a firsthand testimony that I know there's no way you're ever going to tell me that life doesn't start at conception, because Yahweh knows us before we're even conceived. And to think about that, to think about, like I said, just in some odd 20 some odd years, you know, just in the last 20 to 25 years, a billion, almost the size of China, have been killed, aborted, never given a chance. And who knows, you know, who knows if one of those children could have been the next Albert Einstein? Who knows if one of those children could have had the answer to world peace or anything else that the world looks for? But all I know is you're not talking about 1,000 years, or you're not talking about 5,000 years. You're talking about just in the last 20 to 25 years, a billion innocent fetuses that never had the chance to live. Isaiah 44:24 says, "So says Yahweh, your Redeemer and your Former from the womb. I am Yahweh who makes all things, stretching out the heavens. Everything comes from me, even spreading out the earth. Who was with me?" So says Yahweh, your Redeemer and your Former from the womb. You know. So what do they think? What do they think, like, that, okay, if life doesn't start at conception, then when on earth does a fetus become a life? When does it become a life? I mean, come on, let's be serious. And like I said, sometimes these people are so evil and so stupid that you don't even give premise to the stupid things they say. Like we came from an explosion. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing, but nothing exploded. And when nothing exploded, that's the way the world began. And it's like, and you're what do you call yourself, a scientist? Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, that's about the stupidest thing that a 2-year-old child can know, that you can't explode nothing. And even if you had something to explode, explosions bring chaos. Explosions don't bring order. When you're creating something, when you're making an engine in a 747 airplane, it doesn't just pop together. There's pieces that have to go first, and it has to come in an order, and you have to have a plan there to put it together. You don't just say, let's blow it up, and then it'll all come together and be an airplane. It's so stupid what they're saying. It makes no sense. And yet, what do? They hire their operatives. They hire the fake news media that's been around for a long time, than just the last few years, to just keep telling the same lie over and over again. And that's the old adage, what they say, you know, if you hear a lie long enough, you'll think it's the truth. And that's what they do. They just keep telling the same lie over and over again. And that's what Satan does. Like I said, from the beginning, the immortal soul, there is no immortal soul. The soul that sins, it will die, right? And yet, from Genesis 3, we see that Satan started this doctrine of the immortal soul. And how does he get the people to believe it when it's not true? When everyone winds up dying, their soul is not immortal? He just keeps saying the same lie over and over. And that's why we have to be people of the truth, and we have to stand up for the truth. And before this message is over, I'm going to challenge you to something, because we're going to see this even in the day we're living in today. This is something that will affect every single one of us now as we're going forward. in ways that maybe we never even thought of before. But it's to the time where each of us, will we stand up for truth, or are we just going to buy the lie and say, there's nothing else I can do? Psalm 22, 9 and 10. Psalm 22, 9 and 10. He says, "For you are he who took me from the womb, causing me to trust on my mother's breasts. I was cast on you from the womb, from my mother's belly, you are my El." Does life begin at conception? Of course it does. Of course it does. But today, you know, they want to clone. They're trying to clone. They're trying to do all this evil, evil stuff, just like we were seeing in Genesis 6. But Yahweh will only let it go so long. And, I mean, can you imagine, even though we're seeing every single thing that was talked about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the Olivet Prophecy, even though we're seeing everything talked about in Revelation, everything talked about in the prophets, there's still people that don't even believe we're in the end times. There's people that think there could be 100 or 1,000 years left. And it's because they love the world more than the things of Yahweh. But while we're seeing everything come together now, and it's the time that we need to stand up for what is truth. Yahweh took us from our mother's womb. It's stated over and over and over again in Scripture. And yet every year, 40 to 50 million babies are aborted, killed without even given the chance to live. Psalm 106 in verse 34. And let's see what Yahweh says about this. He says, "They did not destroy the peoples, as Yahweh said to them, but they mixed with the nations and learned their works." So when Israel came into the land of Israel, what did Yahweh say? He said, don't make covenants with them. Stay separate from these people, because these people are evil. And sometimes people that maybe never read the Bible before, or they're just starting to read the Bible, they wonder, how could Yahweh say to kill all these people? How could he say to wipe them out? Because they were evil to the core. Because they were absolutely evil to the core. And if they didn't wipe them out, the Israelites, what they wound up doing is accepting the ways of these evil people. And what was the evilness they're doing? Let's read it here. "As Yahweh said to them, but mix with the nations and learn their works. They did not destroy the people, as Yahweh said to them, but they mixed with the nations and they learned their works. And they served their idols, and they became a snare to them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons." They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. So, as abortion just started, you know, in our lifetime, no. This is something that's going on. And in ancient times, they were burning their children in the fire to their gods. You know, at least some of them had a reason for doing it. They thought they were doing something to a god. Today, people will just take life for no other reason because they're selfish. Because they want to go out and commit fornication. They want to commit adultery. And they don't want the consequences of it. "They served their idols and they became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. And they shed innocent blood." They shed innocent blood. Before a baby is ever born, there's nothing more pure and natural and beautiful than a newborn innocent baby. "The blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the lamb was polluted with the blood. And they were unclean with their works, and they went whoring in their acts. And the anger of Yahweh burned against his people, and he detested his inheritance." Why did Yahweh allow Israel to go into captivity? Well, you're seeing it there. Because instead of staying separate from these people and staying in Yahweh's covenant, they join with these people. They worship their false deities and they sacrifice their children, just as the people are doing today. And you know what's amazing? In Israel, when you look at Israel, and it's a modern miracle, right? I've given hundreds of sermons on this. Israel being a nation again. Yahweh bringing them back to the land after 2,000 years. We've never seen anything like this in history. You've never seen a people that have been gone. You don't find them. You only find them in history books that have come back in their original land with their original language and their people again. And what did it take for them to go through that? A Holocaust, a horrible Holocaust of 6 million of their fellow Jews being killed in the Holocaust, 1.5 million children. And just recently, though, there have been more abortions now in Israel since they became a nation again in 1948 than children killed in the Holocaust. Can you imagine that? after everything they went through, they come back to the land, and now they've aborted more children than were killed in the Holocaust. And Israel is among the top in the world per capita for abortions. So it's really, really sad that we see this. But like I said, it's not just about Israel, because it's all over the world. It's all over the world, and there are some countries still where abortion is legal, like Philippines and some other countries, but not that many of them. This is an evil and a crime that is just, there isn't even words to explain it. Nations sacrificing their babies. But with abortion, it's all about money, right? Because this is what Babylon's about. Babylon, commercial Babylon, is all about money. And with these abortions, right, the pharmaceutical companies are using these aborted babies for cosmetics. You know, many of the cosmetics, not all cosmetics, of course, but there's a lot of cosmetics that have aborted babies in the cosmetics, baby cells. Vaccines, that might be a shocker to people, but many of the vaccines, I'm going to name them here, many of the vaccines have aborted baby cells in the vaccines. Anti-aging creams, right? And a lot of other stuff that you wouldn't even be surprised of. Do a search on your own and look how much of aborted baby parts, because you know what they do? I'm guessing not all of these aborted babies, but a lot of them, they actually auction off these babies. They auction off their parts. They auction off parts of their bodies. They use their bodies. Some of them are still alive when they have to get these stem cells for stem cell research. They have to do it while the baby is still alive. And what they have to do to that baby and harm that baby. And it's absolutely crazy that this stuff is allowed. But in commercial Babylon, everything is about profits, right? Everything is about profit. The fetal tissue cells used in vaccines for chickenpox, hepatitis, measles, mumps, rabies, rubella, smallpox, and now even COVID-19. Even COVID-19, a vaccine that everyone in the world, they want to take, or you're not going to be able to get on an airplane and work whatever else. Most of these vaccines, I can't say all of them because I haven't checked all of them, but most of these vaccines, and definitely the ones, these first ones that are out, they are using aborted fetal tissue for the vaccine. Just look on the ingredients of the box. If you see WI-38, that's aborted fetal tissue, and MRC-5 is aborted fetal tissue from a healthy, murdered fetus over 3 months old. A healthy, beautiful fetus that was murdered that's over 3 months old. So you want to take a vaccine that has fetal tissue in it? I ain't even going to say much more. Vaccines are also filled with aluminum and mercury, right? At 12 hours of birth, a beautiful, and this isn't all over the world, okay, but in America, this is, I believe Europe does not do this, but America, it's like this, a baby, beautiful new baby, 12 hours old, they are giving this baby an injection for a vaccine against hepatitis with 1,000% more aluminum than the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, states is dangerous on their own website. They say that a child should not have more than 25 grams of aluminum, which is even that, is any amount is bad. Aluminum is not good. And they have 250 grams of aluminum that is in this vaccine. And why on earth at 12 hours old? Why, when a baby is just coming out of the womb and gasping for life, why on earth would they be giving a shot for hepatitis B, a vaccine? It's just sinister, because the pharmaceutical companies are looking to make money. So, again, there's all kinds of fake news. There's all kinds of fake stories. Today, you can't believe anything you see in the news. You have to investigate this for yourself, because there will be people out there that say they do not use fetal tissue for making vaccines, and it's an absolute lie. It's an absolute lie. So I want to show you a short video now, because I want to show you a video of a doctor who actually made a lot of these vaccines. He's the one who created a lot of these vaccines. And in the video, this doctor is in court because he's being sued because of this. So he's giving a deposition under oath, right, before a judge. And if he's lying, he's going to, you know, get penalty for this. So he's not going to lie. And this doctor is going to tell you how many aborted babies that he worked with just in this one study. Just in one study. And this doctor did many studies. So again, because again, people will say, no, this isn't true. Yes, it is true. Yes, it is true for these vaccines. And in the COVID vaccine, a lot of them, like I said, I can't say everyone, I haven't seen them all. But certainly the one coming out from Pfizer and Moderna and the other ones, they are using aborted fetal tissue. They are killing babies to use the fetal tissue in these vaccines. So let's watch this short video and then we'll continue.
Another debate in the vaccine world is about the ethics and morality of using aborted fetal tissue to culture vaccines. Here's a screenshot of the CDC's vaccine excipient list that lists several vaccines which have aborted fetal tissue listed on their package inserts.
They'll use chicken embryos, monkey kidney tissue, renal tissue from dogs, animals like this, aborted fetal tissue. They, of course, have to neutralize these things with toxic chemicals like formaldehyde, which is embalming fluid. Sometimes other forms of antibiotics are utilized in the production. Heavy metals to create an adjuvant kind of thing to aggravate the immune system so that they can use smaller amounts of the antigen that would produce what they're calling their holy grail, their antibody response.
When I saw that excipient list, and I saw formaldehyde, and I saw aluminum, and I saw mercury, and I saw aborted fetal cells, and you start digging, you dig more, because you're like, well, what does this word mean? You can't even say the word, so you research what that word means. And that's when you're just like, this is not okay.
One person who thinks it is okay is Dr. Stanley Plotkin, also known as the godfather of vaccines. In this next clip, he discusses his involvement in vaccine creation using aborted babies, as well as his assertion that only, quote, religious zealots oppose using aborted fetal tissue in vaccines.
Have you ever worked on developing a vaccine that was eventually used by the public?
Yes.
Which ones?
Well, rubella, rotavirus, rabies, and I've made contributions here and there to anthrax, cytomegalovirus, varicella.
Your work related to vaccines, how many fetuses have been part of that work?
My own personal work, two.
I'm going to hand you what's been marked Plaintiff's Exhibit 41, okay? Are you familiar with this article, Dr. Plotkin?
Yes.
Okay. Are you listed as an author on this article?
Yes.
This study took place at the Wistar Institute, correct?
Yes.
You were at the Wistar Institute, correct?
Yes.
How many fetuses were used in the study described in this article?
Quite a few.
So, this study involved 74 fetuses, correct?
Well, I don't remember exactly how many.
Turn to page 12 of the study.
Yeah, 76.
76. Mm-hmm. And these fetuses were all 3 months or older when aborted, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And these were all normally developed fetuses, correct?
Yes.
What organs did you harvest from these fetuses?
Well, I didn't personally harvest any, but a whole range of tissues were harvested by co-workers.
Okay. And these pieces were then cut up into little pieces, right?
Yes.
And they were cultured?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the pieces of the fetuses were pituitary gland, that were chopped up into pieces to,
mm-hmm.
okay, included the lung of the fetuses?
Yes.
Okay, included the skin?
Yes.
Kidney?
Yes.
Spleen?
Yes.
Heart?
Yes.
And tongue?
I don't recall, but yeah, probably yes.
So I just want to make sure I understand. In your entire career, and this was just one study, so let me ask you again. In your entire career, how many fetuses have you worked with?
Well, I don't remember the exact number, but quite a few when we were studying them originally, before we decided to use them to make vaccines.
Do you have any sense? I mean, this one study had 76. How many other studies did you have that you used aborted fetuses for?
Oh, I don't remember how many.
Are you aware that one of the objections to vaccination by the plaintiff in this case is the inclusion of aborted fetal tissue in the development of vaccines and the fact that it's actually part of the ingredients of vaccines?
Yeah, I'm aware of those objections. The Catholic Church has actually issued a document on that which says that individuals who need the vaccine should receive the vaccines regardless of the fact, and I think it implies that I am the individual who will go to hell because of the use of aborted tissues, which I am glad to do.
Okay. Do you know if the mother is Catholic?
I have no idea.
Okay.
No.
Do you take issue with religious beliefs?
Yes.
Okay. You have said that, quote, vaccination is always under attack by religious zealots who believe that the will of God includes death and disease?
Yes.
You stand by that statement?
I absolutely do.
Okay. Are you an atheist?
Yes.
Our religious leaders don't know what they don't know. And, you know, when I look at things in our scripture that point to, you know, not penetrating the skin and the blood being sacred, I really think that our religious leaders need to understand how that scriptural message matches with what we see with vaccine propaganda. And aborted fetal cell tissue should be enough of a red flag that the Pope says no. The fact that the Pope says, oh no, it's okay, because it's in the name of public health, is of great concern for me.
All right, so pretty shocking, and that's just one small video. You could go to things like thetruthaboutvaccines.com. They have a 10-part series on that. Also the movie Vaxxed, Part 1 and Part 2. Clearly, they have so much evidence. I mean, so much evidence. And even Robert Kennedy Jr., who is, you know, the nephew of President Kennedy, and he is an attorney who fights for families who have been injured through vaccines and killed and whatnot. And he has some awesome, unbelievable information proving just the things that we're talking about today. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 25, because how could this be allowed to happen? How on earth can this be allowed to happen? It says, cursed is he who takes a bribe to strike a life, to shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed is he who takes a bribe to strike a life, to shed innocent blood. And unfortunately, the very people, the politicians who are supposed to be protecting their constituents, are the very ones that are making these laws and allowing it, because they're getting money from the big pharmaceuticals. And of course, we've always known in the end time, you know, that by the merchants of Babylon, I'll read that next, you know, maybe I'll read it right here. You know, the light of the lamp will not shine in you, Revelation 18:23, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you, never. For your merchants, this is talking about Babylon, right? Revelation 18:23. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and by your sorceries, your pharmakia, your pharmaceuticals, all the nations were deceived. Your merchants, Pfizer, Merck, J&J, all these big drug companies that are making these vaccines, and killing babies that do it. They don't care. As long as the profit margin is high, and like I said, curses he who takes a bribe, because they're giving money to the politicians to keep them in office. And these politicians could care less. They could care less about it. And it's really, really sad that a lot of the politicians are taking money from Big Pharma. And it's interesting because, like I said, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, in America, they're the ones making these guidelines for the whole world with WHO, you know, the World Health Organization. And a lot of these people that work for CDC and the government, they leave the government, and where do they go? They get big million-dollar jobs on the pharmaceutical company boards. So it's totally an inside job, and you know, it's just sick. Because like I said, when I was born in 1964, there was somewhere around 7 to 10 vaccines that were given, and now it's 72 vaccines to a child, and being upped, they're looking at 145 more. But the big thing now is, which they started in 2015, they started plan called Vaccination 2020, and here we are in 2020, right? To vaccinate adults, not children. So in 2015, they kind of knew by 2020 there would be a forced vaccination with adults. When President Trump was elected in 2016, Dr. Fauci, you know, the world-renowned Dr. Fauci there, or Dr. Fakey, he gave a speech and said, the one thing that we do know about President Trump's presidency is there's going to be a, you know, some kind of suspicious outbreak, world outbreak, you know, of a disease that's going to be caused. They knew it. Because even just 3 months before the outbreak happened in December 2019 and January 2020, they actually had something called Global, I think it was called Global 201, where they did a simulation of exactly what happened 3 months later. So, wow, what a coincidence, right? That they simulated the whole COVID outbreak. And it's really interesting because they did it with newscasts and everything, that everything they simulated, 99% actually happened that way. So this is no plan. And here we are, and we're, you know, heading into now 2021. 2021 actually is right here. It's upon us, you know. And everybody's going to have to make a choice. You know, do you take the vaccination or don't you take the vaccination? And some people may think, well, you know, hey, for the greater good, I want to take it. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose this. But I don't know how any believer, knowing that there's aborted fetal tissue in a vaccine, can take it. I mean, you know, let Yahweh be the judge. But wow, after everything we're going over today, I don't know how you can do it. And just one other quick story. Just in the past couple of weeks, the United States Senate has had a hearing on COVID-19 and the potential cures for COVID-19. One of the Democrats, before these doctors even spoke, and I forget how many doctors they had there. There might have been 5 or 6, but they have, like, these are hundreds of doctors that are part of this group. They're not Democrats or Republicans. They're not against vaccinations. They're none of these things. All they are is they found out that there is a cure for COVID-19. And it's actually a drug that's been on the market for years. It's approved by the FDA. It's not dangerous. It's called ivermectin. It's a drug that's actually given to kill parasites. And they've done clinical tests from August until November. They did 4 clinical tests of thousands and thousands of people. And it's proved in every case that if somebody either just got the virus, or if someone in your family got the virus and you're trying to be protected against it, that within 48 hours it totally kills the virus. Now, the Democrat there, before even hearing the doctors, gave the speech out. It's all witch hunt, conspiracy theory, this. And these doctors were so offended because they're not politicians. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with scientific evidence, in fact, of even the clinical trials that they did. And you know what's interesting? The Democrat, who was one of the heads on this council, As soon as he gave his spiel on, you know, conspiracy theories and said, he walked out. He didn't even listen to the doctors because he don't care. And you know what they find out? That the pharmaceutical companies are giving him $100,000 for his campaign. So he could care less how many babies die, how many adults die. He don't care. And this is, these people are evil. They're absolutely evil. And man, Yahweh, bring your kingdom down, because like I said, they're running the news media. They're running the internet. They're running the social media and anything. This doctor who actually found the cure, and he called it a cure. He said, I don't say this lightly. This is a cure. People that get COVID that will come and take this medicine for only a few days, the COVID will be, it'll completely kill it. He's been banned by Facebook. You know, as if young Zuckerface knows more than a doctor of 30 and 40 years, that he's going to say this is false information. It's not false information. There's 4 clinical studies proving it. But you know what happens? If they bring this out, this cheap medicine that everybody can take and COVID will be gone here in a month, then their whole plan, their whole vaccination plan goes out the window. Because it's not just a plan of giving people a vaccination, you know, just to, for the companies to make money. That's a big part of it. But it's also the plan of enchipping people. And that people have to continuously take this vaccine every year, because it's not just a one-time vaccine. You know, depending on the company who's giving it, you have to take it at least 2, maybe 3 times initially. And then it only lasts, they already said it, they admitted it only lasts for up to 3 months, which means, you know, you'd have to continuously take that vaccine. So it's so much more than just killing people with medicine, where it talks about, you know, by their pharmakia, they've deceived the nations are deceived. For Babylon, by their pharmakia, all nations were deceived. Because it's they're killing the unborn for products, and now they want to force all humans to get vaccinated. And like I said, here they are, vaccination 220. They say abortion is a woman's right to choose, right? That a woman has the right to choose whatever she wants to do with her body. It's a woman's right to choose. And yet these same rotten, evil hypocrites, they won't give you the right to choose whether you don't want to take a vaccine, because you don't want to take it because there's fetal tissue in it. You don't have that right. No, you don't. You have to, every human being on the planet has to get vaccine. Yet a woman has the right to kill a fetus if she chooses. So like I said, it's all hypocrisy. And the arguments make no sense, because there is no sense to their arguments. It is an evil thing that's going on in the world. I want to go to Matthew 5, 21 and 22. It says, you have heard that it was said to the ancients, do not commit murder, and whoever commits murder will be condemned to the judgment. But I say to you that anyone who provokes to anger his brother without a cause is condemned to judgment, right? And whoever will say to his brother, I spit on you, is condemned to the assembly. So, very clearly, we know that sin starts in the mind, right? And Yahweh says that it's not only the act of murder, which is murder, but if you think anger toward your brother, you've murdered your brother in essence. So a message like this is not to make women feel guilty that maybe were coerced into an abortion at some time in their life. It's about exposing the hypocrisy and exposing what is behind this whole thing. Because it's sad that the laws keep going, that children, 13, 14 years old, can go and have an abortion without consent of the parents, not even thinking what this is going to do to a child later on in life. It's an evil, evil thing, and they don't care who they're affecting. They don't care about the children. They don't care about the young people, you know, the adolescents and young adults that are going to go through this. They don't care about the babies that are being aborted. So again, every one of us in mind is guilty of murder. So, it's not about making anybody feel guilty for maybe decisions they made. It's about exposing what this thing is all about. It's about exposing the selling and the bidding of baby parts, the CDC working with Big Pharma using these aborted fetuses and vaccines and cosmetics, stem cell research. And in Isaiah 65 and verse 20, because Yahweh has a way that no matter what, he can make lemonade out of lemons, right? They say if they throw lemons at you, what do? You make lemonade. There shall not still be an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the youth shall die, the son of 100 years, but the sinner, the son of 100 years, will be accursed. So life begins at conception, which means that every one of these aborted babies will be resurrected. They'll have a chance to live. So, man, you look at the most evil, wicked thing that has ever happened in the world, the saddest thing that's ever happened in the world, and yet Yahweh can still make good at it. So, and I know throughout the years, you know, I've like I said, I've been an elder for 26 years, that women have told me, because it's traumatic. If you look at statistics of women that have had abortions, a lot of them feel guilty their whole life. And the only thing that can cleanse somebody of that is to be cleansed by the blood of Yeshua. Because like I said, in essence, as terrible as anything we can do, when we become a believer, all things become new. And wow, even those lives that were taken, they'll live again. You know, they'll be in the kingdom, and they'll never know the evil that we're living through now. They'll never be able to understand it. You know, and the children, when they ask questions, you know, in the kingdom, and say, you know, Daddy, really, they were people that were selfish? There were people that would want to harm somebody else? Because in the kingdom, there'll be nobody there like that. There'll only be good that's there. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, behold, children are the inheritance of Yahweh. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are the inheritance of Yahweh. The fruit of the womb is his reward. So children are our inheritance and our reward. Our children bring our genealogy and our legacy to the next generation, right? That's what children are there for. Because it shows Yahweh's way to go from genealogy to genealogy. And you could just prove that by looking in the genealogy in Luke 3 of Yeshua, right? For Yeshua to get there in the year 3 BC, right? The only way that that could have happened was that his mother was born, and then through that, the whole genealogy that started with Adam, and it goes all the way through, you know? So children, really, they're our inheritance and our reward, and they bring our genealogy and our legacy to the next generation. And I know, you know, I look at my grandmother, that has been dead for going on 28 years now. And to me, it doesn't seem like it. It seems, in one way, she's still alive. And I look at my second cousins and my third cousins that had never got a chance to see her, but she's alive in the stories that are told about her as the matriarch of the family, you know? And that's the way it's supposed to be, that the children are supposed to bring that legacy from their parents to the next generation. The last scripture is Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15 and then verse 19. It says, behold, I set before you today life and good and death and evil. Well, I put before you today life and good and death and evil. As I showed you that picture before, the living child, life and good, and the aborted baby, death and evil. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. There have been many evils in this society where Satan is the god of. And wow, we can sit here for days and go over them. But the absolutely worst evil that is being perpetrated worldwide is the travesty of abortion. The senseless killing of the innocent, the shedding of innocent blood, the defenseless unborn. This should show us just how evil human nature is. Not only to do it, but to justify it, to make it that it's nothing, to try to say it's not even a life. I mean, how evil human nature is. Should show us just how evil human nature is. That this is allowed and legal in most countries worldwide. We need to be praying for Yahweh's kingdom to come and for the life of the unborn to be sanctified. And also we need to be praying for Yahweh's people in the times coming as they try to inject us with not only vaccinations that have aborted fetal cells, but also have animals in them, you know, monkey serum and dog serum and all these other things that are part of them. So it's in one way, it's a sad message to see this going on, but in another way, it's an encouraging message to know that these children will live in Yahweh's kingdom, and that very soon this evil that's going on in the world today called abortion will end. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.